I was attracted to a piece by my next guest entitled How to Live a Steve Jobs Life on Your Own Terms. The author is Scott Ford, founder and CEO of Cornerstone Wealth Management Group, and I've got him with me today. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You know, in Jobs' commencement speech at Stanford in 2005 after his diagnosis with pancreatic cancer, he said, and I quote, "If you don't set priorities for yourself, life will live you, not the other way around. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life." And he continued, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition, because they, your heart and intuition, somehow already know what you truly want to become." So, you know, Scott, no one wants to wait to hear their death sentence before figuring this stuff out, right?
Sure. So I would say, on that same note, I couldn't agree with Steve Jobs more, and actually had a bit of a similar experience. So I'll give you a little backstory, but you've likely heard it stated, when it's all said and done, there's a lot more said than is actually done.
Yeah.
And so we created, myself and partner and co-author Ron Carson, the IQ Grower process. And IQ, instead of standing for intellectual quotient, it stands for implementation quotient, for that very reason. We want to help entrepreneurs close the knowing-doing gap, and candidly wanted to help ourselves with that. So
yeah.
One of the biggest things to the IQ Grower is the first part of it, which is getting really clear on what you value most. And slightly like Steve Jobs, I had a traumatic experience myself in 1996. My son Jacob, at 6 months old, was diagnosed with patent ductus arteriosus. And you have two main arteries, and before you're born, there's an artery connecting those two. After birth, it closes off for most children, for most all of us. Well, it didn't for Jacob, and it was a loud heart murmur. One thing led to another. He ends up at University of Maryland at 6 months old, needing surgery to put a stent in to close that off. And when it's your son in a diaper hooked to an IV, that is a bit of a Steve Jobs moment. You realize just how short life can be. And, you know, I promised myself, with that realization, I really wanted to make a difference and live a life that was meaningful and fulfilled and full of purpose. And at that time, I developed what I call the six pillars of life. And so six pillars for me are spiritual, family, health, career, philanthropy, and finances. And I want to help entrepreneurs do the same. So first I'll say, Jacob's fine. Surgery went great. He's just had his 20th birthday and is back home from deployment. He's in the U.S. Army, and he just got back last week, so spending some time with him as we speak. So that's great news. But to Steve Jobs' point, and even to my story, it doesn't take that kind of moment or occurrence to actually find your real purpose and find meaning in life. So we developed the IQ Grower process, and the first part of that is to get real clear on why you're here, what's your purpose, and being fulfilled and balanced.
Okay, so you're looking kind of at the 10,000-foot view, bringing that down to earth by step by step by step. Once you have kind of discovered what's important to you, what are some of the daily activities you can actually implement to get you towards these goals? Because we all get distracted, and especially this day and age when there is so much to distract us, it's very hard to stay focused on what's important. What are some tools that you can teach us to use?
That's so true, Steve. And I mentioned getting real clear on what was meaningful and what I valued most in 96. The bad news to that story, I did a very poor job being balanced and actually living like that. So when I would look, and I would look at what I valued most, and I just mentioned the six pillars, I would go back and look at the end of my week, and I wasn't living that at all. I mean, at the end of the day, what matters is where you're spending your time, which means what's on your calendar is what your real priorities. No matter what you say, what gets on your calendar as an entrepreneur, that's your real priorities. And for years, though I was congruent that these are what were most meaningful, I wasn't really living it. And I was like, how do I fix that? So part of the IQ Grower, it's a one-page document, by the way, which can be downloaded from our website, free of, just have at it. And basically, it helps you get clear on what's most meaningful, but then on the left side, it helps you get clear on how to stay balanced. So this is what I do. Every week, so I know my six most as far as what I value most. I then, for the quarter, prioritize and say, what's out of balance? What do I need to focus on most? And then for my daily routine, I'll list and I'll use a planner pad. This is a company you can get. You can use whatever you want, but I use a planner pad for my calendar. And I list at the top spiritual, family, health, all of my pillars and things that I want to work on that week for that. Then I'll list my six most important things for the day. So here we are, Friday. I have my six most important things I want to accomplish that I wrote down the night before in order of priority. Then they trickle down onto my calendar. This has been really instrumental and effective for me to close that knowing doing gap, to know what's valuable, but then how do I implement it? And this has been really helpful for me.
So how did you make the transition between this idea of doing the planning and actually sitting down every day with the proper discipline to put down your thoughts, plan for the next day ahead, especially after a day, let's say, when, you know, you've worked really long time, you're extremely tired, other things have taken up your time. How did you get the discipline just to sit down and do that every day?
It took time. Then I was challenged. So actually, my co-author, Ron Carson, was in my office from Omaha. I'm in Maryland. And in a meeting, he asked what my six most were for the day. This is back in 2010, 11 area. And I had been on and off of that, to your point, of not implementing it every day. And I didn't have it. You know, I had it in my head, but I had not listed it down for whatever reason. And you just fall in and out of habits. And from that point on, not sure what the trigger was except for him asking me and me realizing if he can do it, I can do it. I literally have not missed a six most day, vacation and all. We were on vacation last week. It's part of living a balanced life. And it's not always six. Maybe it's three. Maybe it's two. But the point is, what do you want to focus on that day in order of priority? And it just hit me that if I want to live a meaningful and balanced life, and that's really my calling, I need to do this, and I need to do it every day. And I don't want to look at it as discipline necessarily, even though it is. Look at just more of a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline just sounds more painful, and setting up a new habit and routine is what I've done, and it's just worked really well for me.
So, Scott, as I mentioned before, I'd like to bring this down into really thinking about specific ways that we can think about things, specific things that we can do. On page 18 of your book, The Sustainable Edge, you list a number of factors of things to think about, things to write down. Tell us about those.
Sure. The start on page 18, what are your unique gifts? And question two, what do you do extremely well?
Yeah.
I had a colleague and friend and coach, Dan Sullivan, years ago say, if you work on your weaknesses, at the end of the day, you're going to have some really strong weaknesses. And I think he's spot on and couldn't agree more. So I believe it makes a lot more sense to focus on your strengths. Challenge people have, including myself, how do you know your strengths? How do you know your unique gifts? And how do you really know what you do extremely well? And I'll give you two ideas that have been helpful for me. One would be send those closest to you, whether it's friends, family, relatives that know you best, and just let them know that you're really trying to simplify your life in this complex world. And one way to do that is by focusing on strengths. So you're asking them via letter or email or even potentially taking them out to lunch. But I think in writing makes it more meaningful and a little bit more depth to it. It makes them think through it a little deeper. What would you say my unique gifts are? What would you say I do well or extremely well? And again, make it clear. You're not trying to get a pat on the back and a boost up to feel good. You're really just trying to get in some outside perspective on what someone else views as being uniquely you.
At what point do you sit and you think, well, what gives me the greatest feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that's part of it. Sometimes this takes time. I have two young children, 23 and 20, and they're trying to find their way. And I just had a conversation with my son last night. My counsel to him was, take your time. It's taken me a while to get clear on what my unique abilities and gifts are. So just have vast, broad experiences if you're young, and don't rush it. Take your time. No need to be in a rush for it. And that was my experience. When I look back, some of it started coming to me of always being an entrepreneur and wanting to serve entrepreneurs. And why it didn't hit me before, I don't know, because I started in middle school doing birthday parties, magic, parties and doing magic shows for children's birthday parties, even though I was a young man. In middle school, my parents would drop me off, and I'm charging $50 to $75 an hour to do the show, and I just loved it. And part of it was being I was controlling my destiny, I was entertaining, and I just love being an entrepreneur. And so that's who I feel like I'm here to serve. But it took me a long time to really get clear on that.
It takes many iterations for a young person to decide. They need to try numerous things before they can perhaps hit on something. I think it's the lucky or the rare young person that can actually know very early on what it is that they want to do. You know, Scott, unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to continue this further another time. But for those of you who are interested in learning more about this and really kind of getting the information that Scott has presented here, you can go to the website, thesustainableedge.com, thesustainableedge.com. Scott Ford, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for